This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio. In observance of Shabbat, the Jewish day of rest, the following episode of Finding Your Bliss was recorded on Wednesday, June 26th.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm delighted to be joined by a real legend. She's an award-winning entrepreneur, nutritionist, TV personality, caterer, speaker, media personality, and author of 22 best-selling cookbooks. Of course, I'm speaking about the one and only Rose Reisman. Rose has been in the food industry for over 25 years. And also, later on in the program, we'll have some beautiful original music by singer-songwriter Jacob Shulman. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Canada's cookbook queen and one of our country's leading authorities on eating and living well. Rose Reisman has taken her passion for healthy living and developed it into a multifaceted business. As a nutritionist who earned an MBA in marketing, Rose is the chief consultant for Rose Reisman Catering, personal gourmet food delivery, and kids' lunches, serving lunches to elementary school children. Rose is also a regular guest on City TV, Global, CP24, and she hosts this phenomenal thing called Food Bites, an awesome weekly report on 680 News, bringing the audiences the latest and the greatest in healthy food trends. Really good stuff in there. Got to check all of them out on her website. Over the years, I've seen her in many green rooms and on many television shows, and I also remember when Rose hosted her own television show for 4 years called Lighten Up with Rose Reisman. And she would tape this show in the summer when her children were away at camp or during the day while her children were at school so that she could do carpool pickup at the end of the day. She's happily married to Sam. Oh my God, they're like a dream couple. She's the mother of 4 children and 7 grandchildren. Rose Reisman, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So wonderful to have you here.
Oh, Judy, thanks so much for that lovely introduction. I'm going, who is that?
You were always, Rose, a creative, hardworking, industrious type. You were only 14 years old when you got your first job. You had to take 2 buses to get there, and you worked at a perfume and soap company called Rayette Faberge. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And you were on the production line placing caps over shampoo and perfume bottles.
That's right.
That was fascinating to me.
Judy, I forgot how you know all this. This is so amazing.
How do you think that job, that first job, set you up for your incredible career, really as an award-winning entrepreneur, caterer, author, media personality, who really took your passion for healthy living and transformed it into a multifaceted enterprise?
Well, I think part of it was my family were Eastern European, came here, fortunately, 3 months before the war broke out in Europe. And they didn't have an education. They were hardworking. And I just realized if I, you know, especially as a woman, even then, if I wanted to do something, I just had to do it on my own because my parents were wonderful, but didn't have the background to really teach or encourage me. And it was just really making a living, which was the main impetus at home. So I just realized I got to get out there on my own and do something. And I think as I continued working and doing different things, it was constantly saying, how can I improve on this? How can I be better? How can I learn more? And that was just something, I don't know whether you're born with it or maybe your family gives it to you. Not sure.
Yeah, I think you were born with it. You're an amazing person. And I also read that you entered the field because your immediate family suffered from heart disease, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity. Your father and your aunt died in their 50s from heart attacks. I'm so sorry about that. Your grandmother also died in her 50s from diabetes. And then you were diagnosed as a young woman with high cholesterol. So how did you marry your passion for nutrition with your desire to help families like yours, showing them how to optimize their health without sacrificing the joys of yummy, delicious food?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it all came from not really realizing you grow up as a teenager and, you know, you eat whatever like most kids do. And then you start to look around, you go, oh, grandmother died at 52. Oh, father, something's going on here. So I, you know, you don't really take it to heart because you say, I'm young, I'll worry about it when I'm in my 40s. And then when I went to a doctor and he said, you know, it's got to be genetic. You have high cholesterol. I can put you on medication, but you're pretty young. And then I kind of went, somebody opened up a curtain on me because I had maintained a healthy weight. I wasn't born slim. I had to really fight my weight all my years and exercise. But I kind of thought, well, as long as I exercised and stayed slim, didn't matter what I ate. You know, we really weren't educated at that time in schools about nutrition. And then I started to read, oh my God, saturated fat. I didn't realize, eating the fat off the chicken and the roast was not good for me. I really didn't know. I thought, you know, people think, hey, as long as I look okay and I'm this weight and I exercise, I have nothing to worry about. But then I started to see the connection when I was in my 30s. And that's when I said, okay, I started to look at my diet, realize where I was going wrong, started to read a lot more on health and what caused high cholesterol. And sometimes it's genetic and you can't do anything about it. And I say to people, don't, if that is the case and you really have changed your diet and exercise, you got to go on meds. But I did change it. I ended up not having to go on medication. It stayed always, it's the high of normal, but it's good. And my HDL is very high because I exercise all the time. And it's continued on with that for a few decades now. And I think that I looked at people who constantly said, oh, genetically, I'm overweight. Genetically, I have high blood pressure. Genetically, I just said, you know what? Just try. You know, you can change things because these diseases are not good to have. And really, it went from there. And that's when I said, you know, I've got to do a cookbook on this.
Wow. And I think when you first started to cook, I read that you admitted that your definition of a good meal started with a ton of butter and 12 eggs.
I loved it. I mean, that was it. It's just like, okay, I'm going to do a cookbook. This is before I got into Healthy Trend, and it was butter and it was a dozen eggs and it was whipping cream. Oh my God, I had an ice cream machine where I made ice cream every single day. It was so good. And I didn't know about my cholesterol at that point. And I just kept running 5 miles a day to keep my weight down. So I thought, hey, this is great, but I had no idea the connection.
Isn't that interesting? You've sold now 1 million cookbooks, over 1 million cookbooks. Yeah. So first of all, wow, and congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you.
And
thank
in you. The early 90s, you wrote your breakthrough cookbook entitled Rose Reisman Brings Light Home Cooking, which sold over almost 500,000 copies. Yeah. And I know we're not going to have time to go through all 22 cookbooks today, but I just wanted to choose some of your latest and greatest, beginning with, and I have it right here, Rose Reisman's Meal Revolution, Recipes Inspired by Canada's New Food Guide. And everybody, guess what? You're very lucky. This is one of the wonderful cookbooks. It's heavy that Rose Reisman has given to us to use as a giveaway to a lucky listener. So just starting with that one, can you tell us a little bit about the meal revolution and what inspired you to write that?
Yeah, I really like that book because Canada's Food Guide, which has gone through, I think, seven, you know, major changes, it was more represented by the beef board, the milk board, and it really wasn't true to what people should be eating. I was very proud of them back in, I think it was, forget when that was done, 2019, I'm not sure, when they came out and they said, no, we are now looking, we're not supported by these boards. We're going to tell you what we think healthy eating is. And all of a sudden, meat didn't have a category anymore. Wow. Meat was just included in proteins. Dairy didn't have a category anymore because we now know you don't need dairy. You don't need meat in your diet. You need protein, and that should come from many different sources. And basically how they described a plate was half of it should be vegetables and or fruit, and a quarter of it should be your protein. It could be animal or plant protein. Another quarter of it should be complex grains. Mm-hmm. So that was an eye-opener, and a lot of people looked at that, and I said to people, just look at what you're eating today, then look at what you should be eating. Now, is there a correlation to your health and your weight when you look at this? And most people would say, I can't do that, Rose. That's impossible. I go, you know what? You'd be shocked at how full you will be if you eat like this. Yes. And it's still tough for people. We still have an obesity epidemic. We still have high rates of heart disease and cancer related to different foods we're eating. But honestly, that book inspired me because when I look at my plate, whenever I go out for lunch or dinner, that's how it is.
That's so fantastic. And what's fascinating is the Canada Food Guide first came out in the 1940s. And boy, has it ever evolved. Now in 2024, goodness. And you base a lot of this book on the Canada Food Guide, but the new evolved one, how cool is that?
Yeah, that really excited me because in the past, I personally didn't look at Canada's Food Guide for myself. I just went, no, I don't want to be eating, having milk and meat at every meal. And they would classify it as all the same. If you ate meat or you ate beans or peanut butter, it was all the same. It's not all the same. We all know a plant-based diet not only is better for your health, but better for the environment as well.
Absolutely. There's so many. There's another one that we are giving away, and this is the Rolls Royce of the cookbooks. It's the best of Rose Reisman, 20 years of healthy recipes. It's a hardcover, gorgeous, gorgeous book. Can you tell us how this book, your brainchild behind this book, and how it got put together? And one lucky listener is going to win a copy of this as well.
It's still today is probably my favorite book, even though it may not all go towards Canada's new food guide. But it was when I decided to, you know, I started writing cookbooks back in, I mean, I started in 1988, but then really 1993. And when I wrote this was about 2016 or 17, I said, what have been my favorite meals? And people kept saying, oh, Rose, put together your favorites. And that's basically what I did. So every recipe there, and I added, I think, 25% new recipes, was based on, but I even upgraded the recipe. So I made it easier. And by making it easier, that's ultimately how I got into what I'm doing now, which is totally social media. Hacks for people of how to cook, get it on the table easily. So it was really, that book was improving on what I had done in the past.
So guys, I got to tell you this. I was blown away by your presence on social media, because I do meet many celebrities and authors who are like, I don't know social media. You're everywhere. You're on TikTok with all of your fabulous hacks. You're on Instagram. You're on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. And of course, your website, rosereisman.com. And honestly, I also want to encourage people to spend an afternoon at rosereisman.com. It's like a wonderful afternoon, a delicious, exciting romp through your radio and podcasts and TV appearances and shows and all of it. It's just fabulous. So it's so amazing. Do you have a favorite from this Rose Reisman 20 years of healthy recipes, a favorite of the favorites?
Oh God, one of my favorites. It's a cake that I made when my kids were at overnight camp, and I would FedEx up to the camp. And whenever my kids, I have four children, and they would invite all their friends. I'd always have 20 kids in the house. And this was a cake everyone wanted. It's called the chocolate chip crumb cake. Mm. It was adapted. You might know there was a restaurant many decades ago in New York called the Silver Palace.
Yes.
They wrote many cookbooks. I was in New York, tasted this cake. I died and went to heaven. I then wrote a book on restaurants in New York. They sent me their recipe, and it was 2 cups of butter, 4 to 6 eggs, 2 cups of full fat sour cream. I took that, reduced the calories and the fat, and made really an outstanding cake. Until today, my kids will still say when they come over every Sunday night for dinner, we have 16 for dinner every Sunday, they go, Mom, make the chocolate chip cupcakes. That's my favorite.
Maybe we can put it in our magazine, and we can have our magazine editor just do a little excerpt from your book with that recipe. I think our viewers and listeners would love that. That is so great. So speaking of cookbooks, I just have to tell you that when I called Chapters Indigo, they said, we sell out of Rose Reisman's cookbooks the minute they come in. They get gobbled up and they sell out every time a new shipment comes. That's how popular your cookbooks are.
Yeah, so Judy, I didn't even know that. So that's for sure due to social media, because I social media is a really weird beast. It's like feeding the beast. I started with 2,000 followers 2 years ago. And then I just said, how do I grow my numbers? And just what you do is, I think it's being true to yourself. So I don't put any schlocky stuff on there. I tell people as it is, the tips, hacks, easy recipes. Yes. I throw in some family stuff so they see what's going on in my life. And You get a group of people that really genuinely are learning from you, and it's all health oriented. Yes. So it's nice to see it grow like that.
So great. Well, it's addictive. This is what I was saying about the website, but it's the same thing when I went on your TikTok page and when I went on your Instagram page. It becomes addictive because the hacks are great. They're user friendly. Yes. They're easy. They're fun. You also look great. It's like I always say, the hunchback chiropractor. You're not going to go to him, but you're going to go to Rose Reisman because look at how she looks. Yes. She's fabulous. Yes. She's amazing.
Yes, I remember that.
You paint us a picture of what is involved in creating and putting a cookbook together? I'm sure it's evolved from the time you did it in your home kitchen and it was the mom and pop sort of version to what it is now, because you have a whole enterprise happening. Yeah. But what is involved? Like, can you tell us what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people write and say, I've got great recipes, I want to write a cookbook. it's a serious business, and to get published is tough too. First of all, I like to look at the trends. So you got to have a theme. So I've always looked at healthy, lighter, but still outstandingly delicious. I've never gone into the keto diet. Mm-hmm. I tend to say, hey, this is a great balanced diet that you can live on for the rest of your life. Whereas keto is not something you can do for the rest of your life. Hard on your organs. And then you test, and that recipe has to be perfect by the time it's put to print. So in the beginning, I'd have to test a recipe 4 to 5 times. So imagine in that best of, I think there's 200 and something recipes, each recipe says it 4 to 5 times, because you have to know, is it 30 minutes baking time? Is it 40? If somebody, they'll overbake it, they'll hate your cookbook.
Right.
So there's a lot of that involved. Now that I'm much better at it, of course, so it might take 2 times, sometimes 3, to get a recipe perfect. And then I do the nutritional analysis for it. So that's a big step too.
Yes.
And you have to do metric versus imperial. So there's a lot to putting it together. And also you want to give information throughout that recipe. You want to just say, this works because, or did you know that having this in your diet fights this? So for me, it's health oriented. So that's a focus there. But anyone who wants to write a cookbook knows it's a lot of time in your kitchen, for sure.
I loved it. I loved your whole thing you did on the portobello mushroom and the shiitake mushroom and the button mushroom.
Yeah.
I never knew so much, but you educate. Yeah. Like you also are explaining the health benefits of everything. I love when you do stuff on the best brain foods, which I believe are berries and nuts and all that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this stuff's great. I know Robin Sharma talks about his 5 a.m. club. He's been on our show, getting up at 5 in the morning. He's got so much done. But I was fascinated to hear, and I'm wondering if this is still the case, that you love waking up at 4:15 a.m. Can you explain?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It actually backed up to 4 o'clock. I mean, first of all, people think it's crazy, but it works for me. And I'll tell you why. When you're doing social media, there's a lot of research every day. I mean, I post twice a day, 7 days a week. So I have a lot of information already taped and stored for a month in case something, you know, happens or I'm traveling and I can't cook. Yes. So I need 2 hours in the morning at least to research, like, what am I going to film today? And then after that, I exercise for an hour. So I'm sort of woken up from 4 to 6. I work out for an hour. Then I take my dog, Charlie, for a walk.
Wow.
But by the time I come home, by 9 o'clock, I'm fully dressed and I'm really ready for the day. And then a lot happens in that day. I have 7 very young grandchildren. And every one of my kids, they're wonderful and they respect my time and my work. But every day I'm assigned to one of them. And that usually happens after 3:30 or 4 p.m. So waking up at 4 really works. And then I'm conked out by 9, 9:30.
What a great, healthy life. I love that. What does your workout routine look like, Rose? What do you do in that 1 hour before the walk with your dog?
The 1 hour, I mean, I actually do more than that 1 hour outside because I walk Charlie twice a day. That's why I have to buy all these hours. The 1 hour is cross training. So I either do the elliptical, I do the Peloton, or I swim. Then one day I do full weights for an hour. And then I do Pilates because I had a bad back in my 30s. You know, from carrying 4 children and probably wearing high heels too much, my back was really bad. Pilates has saved my back, like, for life. So I know it sounds like a crazy amount to exercise, but that's why I wake up at 4, because I feel physically great. And to maintain that, you need to buy hours in the day if you want to work.
It's amazing. And I have to tell everyone, you'll see this when this episode goes to YouTube, not just on Zoomer Radio AM 740, but you'll see when it goes to YouTube, you look fabulous. You look gorgeous. You don't age at all. And you'll all see what I mean. Like, your arms, she has perfect arms and you're so slim. How can you taste all this food and cook all this food and stay slim? Is it the working out that helps?
The working out helps for sure. And I eat according to Meal Revolution. Like, before I came on, I just had this big bowl and in it were greens, veggies, some chicken, feta cheese. I don't even measure the dressing, but it was all, even though it's not on a flat plate where I can stare at it. And I add the chicken because I've seen too many women at times wake up, they don't eat breakfast, they have a little salad like this for lunch. Right. And then at night, all hell breaks loose, right? Like, we open the refrigerator door and that's it.
Guilty.
And I used to find that I would do that. Yeah. And at night, I'd weigh more. So I found that middle of the day, eat like Mediterraneans. I have a bigger meal in the middle of the day.
Okay.
And I eat very little at night. And that just seems to work, fills me up. So if you eat enough at lunch, brunch, lunch, whatever you want to call it, that will sustain you till around 6 o'clock and you're not really hungry for a big meal. But that key is a Mediterranean approach.
Do you have a favorite smoothie? Are you a smoothie person? Because I love like a, not so much.
Yeah. No, I don't love to drink my food. I get such sensation from eating.
Yes.
So the only thing I have is I do the crazy water bottle with the, you know, the, what do you call this again? This is the, SodaStream. I love it. And the SodaStream is fantastic. I keep that going all day. But a lot of people are smoothie lovers. And I think it's great, providing you put in enough fiber and protein. That's fabulous. But I've never wanted to drink
my food.
I love the sensation of tasting and biting.
Right. Every bite. You'd rather eat those raspberries and bananas and strawberries. Interesting.
And I should tell you, I am a chocoholic. I believe in dessert every day. So I don't do store-bought desserts. I make my own. But every night, early in the evening, I'll have a small piece of one of my desserts. Every single night.
I think you got it figured out very, very well. I love your Instagram post of you and Sam, your husband, dancing into 80s music to celebrate your wedding anniversary. It's everything. Yeah. And you look like you're wearing a white long slip dress. It could be like a wedding dress, but so gorgeous on you. Do you think part of it is a mental philosophy? In addition to all the working out and the healthy eating, do you have a mantra or sort of a life wellness vitality philosophy?
I used to always rush life, Judy. Like I'd say, oh my God, if I don't get this accomplished by the time I'm 25, if I don't get this accomplished by the time I'm 30, I don't know. But my mind would say life's over when you're 50. That's what maybe I was saying. And now as I'm aging, and I won't say how old I am, but as I'm aging, I say, if I'm healthy, knock wood, because we never know. You can eat well and exercise and
God willing. Yeah.
But if I'm healthy today, I don't care how old I am. I want to keep going and inspiring people around me and my children, my grandchildren, and all the followers. I want to say, you know what? Doesn't matter if you're healthy. Keep going and doing and really like self-actualize. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to, you don't have to impress anybody out there. You do it for you. Like people say to me, why don't you go to Florida or Mexico for the winter? That would not be who I am. I need to be here. I need to be close to my kids. I need to have my work. So you have to determine who you are first and if that's one of your goals. But that's my goal, to hopefully keep self-actualizing. And maybe that came from my mother-in-law, Sam's mother, who just passed a year ago at 96, worked. She ran industrial buildings until 2 weeks before she died.
Wow.
We went to the office, and during COVID, she wanted to kill the people in the building because they wouldn't let her in.
Oh, no.
And she got in no matter what with her mask on and went to work.
Isn't that wonderful? I love that.
And she was inspired, and she stayed tuned in, and the kids called her every single day. Like, it was wild. Six kids.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah, great story.
I love that every Sunday night you host dinner for your entire family, making as many as 10 dishes. Do you start that cooking at 4:15 in the morning? Do you do a few marinades?
Oh, God. Saturday, I have some help. And Saturday, I decide what the menu is. It's shopped for. I'll have somebody help prep and chop, and then I throw it all together on Sunday.
Lucky family.
So Sunday, I might spend just a couple of hours, but two reasons I bring it all together. I mean, I don't think kids really appreciate their parents for a long time, right? But they come together and I get them together.
Nice.
And otherwise, life is so busy, they wouldn't see each other. They all have kids. They'd be this way. They all come together and they're so sweet and happy with each other. Now, I don't often get a thank you when they leave because it's come to be expected. But they bring their dogs. We've got three dogs, 16 people. But it's
beautiful.
Fun. It's fun.
So beautiful. You have a wonderful catering company called Rose Reisman's Catering.
Yes.
You said your husband was the inspiration for that company. Just briefly, can you tell us more about that brainchild?
Sure. I actually ended up selling my business. I'm still a consultant a month before COVID broke out. It's being run by a large company now called Recipe that used to be the old Cara. And they're fantastic. And again, it's healthy cuisine. We do corporate, we do events, we're doing school menus. We covered it all. And really, we were the first real trailblazers of healthy in Toronto for sure. And maybe even Canada back in 2014.
You also launched a school lunch program. I don't know if that's still going, but what was that all about for people who are desperately looking for tips for school lunches?
The schools were so open to us. I literally knocked on doors, went to schools myself and said, this is what I do. What you're ordering right now is really bad for kids. I'm telling you, it's processed, it's packaged. And I'd say, try it. And we tried to make it very kid friendly. So we did mac and cheese, we did chicken fingers, but we didn't do hot dogs. We didn't do processed packaged goods. Yes. We made our own muffins and cookies. And then, you know, you had to be peanut free and all the allergies. My God. But it went really well. We were doing about 1,500 meals a day for kids.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we were all over the schools.
Of course, you provided the whole catering menu for Pickle Barrel, which I've enjoyed many times. Yeah. You've raised $1 million for cancer research. How did you do this?
You just read my mind. That book back in 1993, Light Cooking, I decided to donate a portion of the proceeds of that book. So it was just a perfect storm that hit. Like, the book took off because it was one of the first books ever in healthy cooking, and a dollar from each book was going back to breast cancer research. We raised that much money. And then from now, even now, for the last 15 years, I support the Princess Margaret. I'm an ambassador to them for their home lotteries. So we just did the cottage this summer, the gorgeous three cottages that were given away, the home in Oakville, the home in King City. And the Walk to End Cancer comes in September, and we once again are doing the food for them.
Wow.
And I'm walking and raising
money. Of course you are.
So it's not just a great cause. People know it's a very important cause. And I want people to know that the money really goes back to research. It's incredible where they've come with cancer, but we've still got a long ways to go.
What is your favorite meal of all time? You've got to have one. I know there's millions, but
it's probably not something I cook. I'm addicted to sushi and sashimi. I love good sushi and sashimi. Yeah. So it's not something I make at home because the restaurants do it way better.
That's amazing. There's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss these days for Rose Reisman?
Oh, that's an easy one. My family. Being together on Sunday nights with seven grandkids, all the chaos, all the screaming, all the rivalry, and just watching family dynamics. That is my list.
Isn't that wonderful? I love that I saw this gorgeous picture of Vail, Colorado, and ruddy, healthy complexions, and everyone in these colorful ski suits. Yeah. And it was your kids and your grandchildren. And doing things together as a family and being with your family. I agree. Nothing better.
We try once a year, and it's really hard with kids today. They all have different work schedules. They all work. We try once a year, and they, you know, one daughter would say, I want a beach holiday. The rest of them say skiing. But watching my oldest daughter's three children, twins and a six-year-old, twin nine-year-olds and a six-year-old, come down that mountain in Vail, make me look bad. And they're looking at me going, faster. You're so slow. You're old.
Oh, goodness. You're an inspiration to so many people. I want to thank you so much for being here. Really, it's been an honor to have you here, honestly.
Delightful to talk to you. I listen to your radio, the podcast. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
It's an honor. Thank you.
I'm going to tell you all how you can listen to Rose Reisman at the end of the show, but there's a million ways that you can. But rosereisman.com, and she is everywhere on Instagram. What are you called?
At Rose Reisman.
And on Facebook?
Just Rose Reisman.
Yeah. And she's everywhere. We'll give you all of the handles, Twitter and YouTube and TikTok. Rose Reisman. She is the coolest.
My kids go, oh, Mom, that's wild. I didn't know what TikTok was 2 years ago.
We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, more of Finding Your Bliss with talented singer-songwriter Jacob Shulman.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And I'm so excited to introduce you to a really talented artist whom I first met on Jake's Jam, created by the wonderful Ellen Schwartz. And Jacob Shulman is a very special person. So before we hear him sing, let me tell you a little bit more about him. Jacob is a PhD candidate in the field of MRI physics at the University of Toronto. But while he's not working in the lab, he is an avid musician and songwriter. As the child of two musicians, a jazz pianist and a singer-songwriter, Jacob's passion for music manifested at a very early age. Jacob has been writing music since he was in high school. He has been a guitarist, bassist, vocalist for two Toronto-based bands, and he continues to write music as a solo artist. Jacob Shulman, what a delight to have you here. At last, welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Judy.
Jacob, we first met on Jake's Jam, and I've since come to know you very well. I know you're also very good friends with my son and my grandson, but I've known you for many years on Jake's Jam and always thought of you as such a talented singer and artist and a great person. I wanted to ask you first how you came to Jake's Jam, which I just want to share with our listeners, has evolved since COVID into an online Zoom concert with phenomenal people of all ages and abilities, which of course is in honor of Ellen's beloved late son, Jacob. And Lily as well has been part of this since the beginning. And even before it went online, when it was in person, and now I understand that I just understood in the green room that you've been involved long before it went online as well. What brought you initially into the Jake's Jam community?
Yeah, so it was actually my mom who first got involved with Jake's Jam on my end. And she had mentioned to me quite a few times that it occurs weekly, which it was sort of at the beginning, and that I should join her. And so I couldn't deny the opportunity in general, but I didn't want to deny her sort of that nachas. So we decided to do it together. And I forget the song that we sung the first time. I think it might have been Vienna by Billy Joel. And we really enjoyed it. And so we just kept on doing these duets on Jake's Jam for quite some time. And at a certain point, I started doing it on my own here and there, but that's really how it got started.
That's so amazing. Well, I just always feel when you're on camera and you're singing that you're a pro all the way. You're just so, so talented. And I also love that you really have these two lives. You go from doing research by day to being an avid musician and singer-songwriter by night or late afternoon. Can you tell us briefly, first of all, what your research is in the field of MRI physics?
Absolutely. So for the past 4 years, I've been doing MRI research. And in particular, we call it perfusion MRI, which is visualizing blood flow in the brain. And typically in the hospital, if somebody wants to get a perfusion MRI scan, or if a radiologist or a doctor refers a patient for that scan, they would be injected with an invasive metal. And so our work for the past 4 years has sort of been dedicated to determining if we can replace that metal with something totally non-invasive. And it turns out that that substance that's non-invasive is actually already within our blood. And it just needs to sort of be modulated through inhaling different levels of oxygen. And ultimately, we've published a few papers at this point and filed a few patents, and it's looking really good. So we're coming to the end of it now. I'd say we probably have about 3 or 4 more months to go, if all goes well. And that's sort of the general idea of the research. But we've looked into other things as well, but that's the typical day-to-day tasks that we're working on.
That's incredible. That's so wonderful. And so you leave work, and I'm sure you'd have some downtime, and you see your beautiful wife, and then you start with your music. And I wanted to just ask you just to take us back, because I know your passion for music manifested at an early age. Can you tell us what you love about singing and creating music?
I feel like it was sort of put into my blood when I was very young, because like I said before, my dad's a jazz pianist. My mom's a singer. When I was really, really young, my mom and my dad would like put me in this blanket and they'd sway me back and forth while playing the Beatles. That's at least what they told me. Wow. So I've been like a Beatles addict ever since, and also many, many other types of music, but sort of relaxing and connecting with music has almost been intrinsically part of my existence since I was really, really young. And I can't quite put my finger on what it is that I love so much about it. It's just that when the music goes on, if it's good music, I'm like in a different world. I'm on a totally different planet and it's just a good time. So it's a definitely part of me to such an extent that I actually can't even describe what it is. It's just, it changes my mood completely and it puts me in a better place. Of course, there are many scientific studies that have come out to show music alleviates pain and it alleviates depressive symptoms, etc. So I can definitely connect with that in the sense that it's definitely a mood enhancer. And it, for me, is super, super important.
Have you ever heard the expression, when you sing, you pray twice?
It's a good one. True.
I love
Absolutely.
It. I love it. It's a very impactful thing. What's your favorite Beatles song?
That's a really hard question. I think it changes, but I think right now it's probably A Day in the Life.
Nice. That's a good one. Good choice.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you come from a long line of musicians. Your mom, Tears, is a gorgeous singer and songwriter. And I understand your dad is a jazz pianist, as you've just mentioned. What impact has your family had on your passion for music? I mean, I know you've said this wonderful story, but how do they feel when they see you perform and you continuing the legacy?
It's a great question. My mom has really been a part of the musical journey throughout, ever since I started getting involved in applying to these competitions and joining bands, whatever I was doing along the way. She was really, really, you know, closely a part of it for a long time. My dad, I think later on in life, sort of I wanted to introduce him to what I was doing. And there was actually this one instance like a few months ago where I invited them over and I had the guitar out and he's like, do you want to play together? So he like went on the piano and I'd play guitar and I'd sing. Oh. And it was an amazing experience. And they've certainly both been involved in my musical journey throughout. Again, they are definitely the ones who put it in my blood and sort of inspired me. But they're both still very much involved in what I do. And yeah, I'm very grateful to both of them.
That's so cool. I love that. I'd love to share some of your music with our audience. And I think we're going to start by hearing your cover of Little Black Submarines by the Black Keys. Can you set this one up for us, as they say?
I heard the song for the first time when I was in high school. And I think at that time, I was like going through a lot of changes in terms of my music. And that song has just stuck with me throughout. There's like a serious soulfulness to it. The Black Keys in general, that band, they're very soulful in their music. I've seen them perform in concert once in Toronto. And I really connect with it in the sense that it's a very, very soulful song. It's very, it goes through a lot of different changes in the sense that it can be relaxed at the beginning and then it gets really powerful near the end. So I really enjoy the song and I think it's been a part of my repertoire for a long time. So it was about time that I sort of, you know, recorded it and put it out there.
Love that. Well, I'm so excited to share it. I've heard it. It's amazing. So excited to share it with our listeners. So without further ado, let's have a listen to Little Black Submarines by Jacob Shulman.
Little Black Submarines, operator, please call me back on the line. Oh, my girl, I'll be back, operator, please. This is wrecking my mind. Oh, can it be the voices calling me? They get lost and out of time. Should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind. That a broken heart is blind. Lift you up, let you down. Then I wanna go to a place I can hide. You know me, I hate plans, but they just disappear to the back of my mind. Oh, can it be the voices calling me big and lost and out of time? Should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind. That a broken heart is blind.
studio audience here. Oh my God, your voice, Jacob, is so phenomenal. There's a tone to your voice that is just so rich. There's a timbre. There's something that I could listen to you all day long.
That's so sweet.
Love that one. Wow. Wow. And I love when it gets into that, I don't know what the right musical way to describe it, but it gets louder and more. Yeah, it's really, would you call that rock, pop rock, or is it more folky? How would you describe that music?
Yeah, I guess it's like pop alternative rock. It's sort of like, even though those are slightly contradictory terms, but like, yeah, it's hard to tell. I think at the time it was sort of more alternative rock, but it's become a staple. Like everyone knows that song now, so it's become quite popular.
So have you done that song on Jake's Jam?
I have. I did. Yeah.
I might have missed that one because I would have loved that. Do it again. Do it again. Love to hear it again. It's so great. You've said that you enjoy listening to good music from all genres, jazz, rap, hip hop, rock. And since you're most familiar with acoustic guitar, a lot of your songwriting and playing tends to center around various forms of softer rock. You've written a gorgeous song called Danny. Can you tell us about your brainchild, Danny, and what inspired you to write it?
So I was writing a lot of songs. Most of the songs that I had written, actually, I would say, were written near the end of high school and sort of beginning of university. For some reason, the creative juices were just running at that point in terms of melodies. And the interesting thing is, at least for me, I often write a melody or I think of a melody and then the lyrics come after. And I know that's sometimes the case, sometimes it's not. Sometimes people write the lyrics, like with Elton John and Bernie Taupin, he had the lyrics and Bernie Taupin, and then Elton John did the melody. So for me, it's sort of the melody that comes first. And I don't know what it was. I guess I was just playing around on my guitar at one point and the melody sounded really good. And I thought I have to put lyrics to this. And so Danny was a song that I think it was probably the second song that I had ever written properly. And the recording that I sent over is actually from a long time ago. I think it's probably from 3 or 4 years ago at this point. The song itself, a lot of the songs that I wrote, again, because of the melody came first, the lyrics are almost these very abstract lyrics, and they sort of like tell a story of these fictional characters that I often like wanted to portray and fit their character or their story into the melody. So if it was a more like somber melody, then it would be like a more somber character and a more somber story. But if it was a more upbeat melody that I was coming up with, then I would make it more interesting and more the character or whatever story it was to be more exciting. And so Danny, it happened to be a song that was a little bit more somber, a little bit more low, but I really enjoyed writing it and hopefully you'll enjoy it too.
Well, I can't wait to share this with everyone. Let's all have a listen to Jacob singing his original Danny.
Back. Danny's in the bathroom.
Is really beautiful, Jacob. That is a beautiful song that, I don't know, it's just got everything. It's just got this, I don't know, it just takes you on this ride. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's really, really great. Congratulations.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you so much.
I think that needs to be a hit song on the radio. And we're going to start that today. That is starting right now to be that. You're so talented, Jacob. As I was putting this interview together, I was thinking to myself, if you've ever thought about pursuing this full time.
Yeah, I think for a long time I've been hoping to pursue full time. And I started developing a side passion, which was science. And so it was like always a balance between the two, like developing my science acumen and pursuing research, and then also writing songs and like performing with my band and doing these sorts of things. And then I don't know, I guess the time commitment to research became really big at one point, and it just sort of became more difficult. But my PhD is coming to an end, so there could be, you know, anything's on the table at this point.
If I could wave a magic wand, what would be your ultimate goal in this industry, like your ultimate dream to accomplish? Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, more with Jacob Shulman. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And just before the break, I asked you, Jacob, what would be your ultimate dream to accomplish?
I think there are a lot of songs that I have written that I haven't recorded that are just sort of there. And I guess in a sense, my wish would be to have them out there, just put them out there and have like ensure that people can connect with them. You know, that to me is very important, because that's what music has been for me my entire life. It's been about connecting. It's been sort of about having a voice that maybe you need to hear, you know, at a given moment, or a story that you need to hear, or a melody that you need to listen to. And so in a sense, I think for me, that's what it would be. It would be to get those songs that are just sitting sort of in my phone at the moment out there and have them available for people to connect with.
if they ever become an album or an EP or whatever, all those things that you call albums these days, a 5-song album or a longer album or any kind of album, will you come back on the show and play some of the songs that we haven't heard today so we can hear more? Because I really love your music.
Absolutely. It would be my honor.
That's so amazing. Every show, there's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the program. Of course, we're going to ask it for you as well. I think you might know what it is. What is bliss for Jacob Shulman? I think I might know the answer, but go ahead.
It might surprise you. I think I want to say music, but I also want to say being with the people you love, because I wouldn't be able to write the kind of music that I do or pursue the sort of things that I'm pursuing if it wasn't for my wife or for my family that inspired me in the first place. So I think it's a toss-up between the two, but I think I have to actually go with spending time with the people you love. I think I do.
How beautiful is that? And that's what informs your music, and that's what gets infused in your music, because it's all about love and it's all about your relationships, and that it's almost like you can feel that in your songwriting and when you sing. So That's a really wonderful thing. What is the best way for people to contact you, Jacob, and connect with you on social media, or at least to hear your music? Like, are you on SoundCloud? Where can people find your music?
The music, unfortunately, isn't super available. It's, again, mostly these little voice recordings on my phone. But to get in contact with me, if anyone wants to, I have an email that's available. Judy, I can give it to you. I have a LinkedIn. I have a Facebook. That can all be used for Amazing. The purposes of getting in touch with me.
Amazing. And you know what? We're going to be putting these two songs on our SoundCloud. So if anybody wants to hear Jacob's music, at least these two pieces, the cover that Jacob sang earlier on in the show and the beautiful original Danny, will be available on SoundCloud, on the Finding Your Bliss SoundCloud account, with a lot of other very talented artists. And so people will have an opportunity to listen. So that's going to be so great. I want to thank you so much, Jacob, for being on the show today. It's been so great. Do you have a word of advice for anyone, an aspiring singer-songwriter out there who might be listening, young or even older, who's always wanted to do what you're doing? What would you say to them? What would be some words of advice you would have for them?
It's something practical. Definitely learn an instrument and give it your all, like really commit to it, because that's what I did early on and I haven't stopped. And just listen to a lot of music, like a lot of different styles, and sort of expand your horizons. It's really hard, but it's worth it because it inspires the music that you write, and hopefully it inspires you to make the next Hard Day's Night or the next whatever it is. So.
That's great. This almost is going to be a continuation of that first question, but what is the best advice you've ever received in your life about pursuing your music, your voice, all the rest? Best advice you ever got from a coach or from one of your parents? Or
I think probably just to be honest and don't try and force anything. I think there were a lot of times where I did that and then I sort of like scrapped it and did it again, but from a place of honesty and like, not trying to force anything on myself. Nice. I think that's probably the best advice that I've received. And that was from my mom.
That's so great. Well, I should also tell everyone that Tirsa, your mom, is an incredibly talented, beautiful singer and person inside and out. Hi, Tirsa. And the gorgeous voice. Maybe we'll get to hear that voice someday on this program as well. I want to thank you so much, Jacob, for being on the show today. I'm so glad that we finally did this. I can just rest easy tonight and breathe a sigh of relief.
Me too. It was a long time coming. I'm so happy that we did it.
Me too. Thank you so much for being here. Each week, we spotlight a fabulous singer-songwriter or a musician like Jacob Shulman on the show. So if you're a singer or a musician, please reach out to us. And if you're an author, thought leader, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, therapist, life coach, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we would love to hear from you. Also, what did you love about today's program? Are there any guests or topics you would like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and get connected to your passion and purpose, whatever that may be. Reach out to me at findingyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at the Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would love to thank our wonderful first guest, Canada's cookbook queen, Rose Reisman, for being on the show today. We loved having you. Also, thank you to singer-songwriter Jacob Shulman. And a special thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, Olivia Weatherall, Olivia Vigiani, Eva Shabbatai, audio engineer Juliana Yanisiello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. We're going to close out the show today with a short meditation, and this one is called How to Stay Hopeful in Times of Great Anxiety. And here it is. Begin by settling back and get as comfortable as you can. Lie back on a mat or on a bed, or recline back in your chair, and just gently close your eyes if that's available to you. Let's just begin by taking in a nice deep breath, in through the nose, and let it all go in a nice long exhale. Allow yourself the time here to just focus on your breath and on this present moment awareness. And if you believe in something greater than yourself, this is the time to say a prayer. And as my dear friend Donna used to say, give it over to God or to a spiritual being. This is the time to take in another deep breath here. And then let it all go in a beautiful exhale. Thoughts will come. Let them. They are just thoughts. Witness them and watch them float away like clouds in the sky. Trust that all will be well. Peace will come. Beautiful words from a song by Tom Paxton. Let me share these lyrics with you now. Peace. Peace will come. Peace will come. Let it begin with me. Oh, my life is all I can hope to control. Oh, let me live, be lived for the good of my soul. Let it bring peace, sweet peace. Peace will come, and let it begin with me. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.